This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We were going to talk about more serious Rangers issues, and we will probably still do that in about 20 days or so. You can catch that on the AM station. 20 minutes or so, we will talk about that. In the meantime, what people really demand to talk about, the Texas Rangers have released their new food items for the year. And right now, I'm going to introduce to you the most eclectic group of people ever to jump on for this segment. Could we get them in for another segment? They said no.
Yep.
But for this segment, Carter Freeman, Reginald Atatula, and Eric Chiafalo have all come into the studio.
I think I'm in the wrong city.
To take part.
Murderers row right here.
I think it's because Eric's like, I will only be on shows where at least 5 to 6 people talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he saw Reggie and Carter in here, he's like, I need to participate.
You guys met my quota?
Okay.
So I'm here.
That's why he doesn't try hard on Bet Nation. There's only 3 of us in there. We need to have more people there.
I don't try that hard on Bet Nation because I'm beat down and it's Sunday afternoon and I'm doing another 4-hour show.
What a fascinating thing to admit on air.
Yeah. No, but I have a great time. I mean,
we do. We have a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Get to hang out with Walchuk. So it's and we're in the midst of the madness, even though it's been kind of
The midness.
Yes. Midness. Yes.
I like that.
March midness. That's good. That is very good. All right. Corey, are you ready for the new food items this year at Globe Life Field?
Yep, let's do it.
Obviously, I have no acceptable palate, so I will toss it around to you guys.
Please tell me they went through with the Simeon Toast Crunch.
You'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Let him do the segment,
Eric.
Hey, yeah.
I want him to do the Simeon.
Be humble.
Show, you get to run.
And sit down.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
The Boomstick Burrito. You're welcome. It's a 26-inch wide tortilla filled with rice, beans, taco meat, squeezy nacho cheese.
Squeezy nacho?
That's right. You know what
it's
I'm talking
best kind.
About.
Is that the Julio stuff?
Pico de gallo, lettuce, and sour cream. The tortilla is so big, it's made special for the ballpark. For the low, low price of $35.99, this item can be yours at the ballpark.
What's $35 for like 2 feet?
$35.99. Don't fall into that trap.
Yeah.
36. That's where they make it $99.
Okay. $36, but we're talking about 2 feet, 2 inches worth of real estate.
That's right.
That's like a family meal.
Wow. Okay. But it's obvious. Okay. Is it going to be, are they going to have it all cut up
There's
for
no
you?
There's no way to do it.
Are
There's
they bringing
no
that big, huge pan out with it too?
Because it's a giant pan.
Do I get to take that home?
It's specially made. They had to bring in, you know, tortilla scientists to figure out how to make this happen.
Yeah, from NASA.
Mm-hmm. I wonder.
They've been furloughed from their jobs, so they were able to.
Man, I learned a lot about NASA in the last week or so. It's pretty shocking.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, he had a rough week last week.
I'm still in the midst of listening to space podcasts because of the stuff I learned about the Nazis.
Anything you want? NASA. What?
Yeah. Look it up, kids.
I think I'm out on this, but it's largely because, I mean, you get a regular big burrito and you take a few bites and it becomes unwieldy pretty quickly. I can only imagine trying to keep that particular burrito together at that size.
I guess you're doing the thing because you can't really cut it up. You can only really cut it in half because you need to have that bottom
exactly.
buffer without everything just spilling out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is you and a partner both accepting roughly 1 foot of burrito.
Yeah. In the middle.
Well, it's like the boom,
the Lady and the Tramp.
I know you ate a boomstick burger all by yourself, but those are usually meant for like two or three or four people. So I assume this is the same way.
I would argue five or six people, but.
Yeah, this is going to quickly become a burrito bowl. You know, yeah. I mean, like, that's what's happening here.
This
yeah.
is more difficult. This is more difficult. I mean, I, how much is that going to weigh? Like, do we have
3.5 pounds?
3.5 pounds?
Yeah.
That's heavy duty.
It really is.
But I feel like the burger one was roughly that, too. That one had some tonnage.
I think it's going to be fun. I think it'll be a fun event for okay. people. That's a family item right there. Or an Eric item.
Eric Chiafalo, yeah. let's talk about lobster. Now, a couple years ago, when the Rangers won the World Series because they had a lobster roll that cost $250, they decided that might not be for everybody. They have scaled it down. So now it's a lobster blend, which means it's lobster and imitation crab. You don't even get lobster and regular crab. You get lobster and imitation crab. However, that has brought the prices down.
What does the imitation sound like?
Hey, I'm a crab.
Okay, I'm in.
Krusty crab, maybe?
That's the first imitation.
Yeah, all right. So there is the lobster roll, which you're familiar with, $14. I'm going to expand it out.
Are lobster rolls good,
yes.
by the way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever had a good lobster roll because I ordered one from Dallas, and I don't know. I feel like I need to order one from Maine.
That's the thing is Peyton was just the morning show producer just in Boston. I told him, get a lobster roll while you're up there because they're great. And
he
now
did that
I've had one there.
Okay. I don't know who Peyton is.
Look, it's been 6 months. Reggie's probably forgotten everything about the fan, but having it from the source, it makes it harder to have it elsewhere.
Okay.
So I'd question it in Texas as opposed to straight from the Haba up in Boston.
So do you prefer the lobster roll or would you like the lobster mac or lobster nachos? So that will be Tostitos, shameless plug, tortilla chips that are layered with white cheddar sauce, shredded Gruyere, and lobster, $20.
Gruyere, great cheese, by the way.
Really good
Can
cheese.
Can you spell it?
Yes.
Gruyere?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Nailed it.
But where's the little dash above one of the E's? Which E is that on?
The tilde.
I was going to say it was the G, so I don't know. I feel like I'm...
No, it's not the G.
In the spot where the G is.
Mm-hmm. You see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that we still have this.
Not everybody can find it.
I'm going lobster nachos.
The ever elusive...
Stop it.
Spot.
Stop it.
I've had some good lobster mac before.
Oh, okay.
I've had some very good lobster mac in my time, but I'll take some lobster nachos. I'll try that out. Have you ever had a lobster queso?
Yes, I have. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's in Lucy's queso book, and I made some, and it was awesome. It was.
She's an author now?
Not yet. Okay. She will have a queso book at some point.
Excellent.
I'm in on all three of these, Hagee, just for the record.
Okay. Do you have a number one seed in the group?
Whichever one didn't have the imitation involved. I'm here for the real thing.
Hey, I have terrible news for you. I'm pretty sure that lobster mix is for all three of them.
Oh.
Because
so none
otherwise,
of it's real.
That's what they had to cost. That's why it cost $250,000 or $250
okay.
for the other one.
Yeah. It was like thousands of dollars. I don't think I should have a mortgage to get some lobster.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It is. Now, Hurtado. I know that's what you really want to talk about. The Birria Quesadilla will be back. But I've got a couple more things to add. What do you think about the Big Papa Potato? So it's got Hurtado shredded brisket inside a baked potato layered with butter, cheddar cheese, and Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, all for the low, low price of $15.
For a potato?
Yes.
Loaded.
That's awesome. That's great value for that potato. That's an entire dinner right there.
I think that's a great move. I love that. I love that idea with the brisket in there.
It looks good, too.
I've never wanted a baked potato at the ballpark, though. I don't know.
Is that too
Have you wanted
much?
Lobster nachos before?
Like, every time I'm there.
Yeah, I feel like
the squeezy cheese.
That's yeah,
squeezy
that's true. Cheese. That does it.
Just yeah.
with you. Squeezy cheese.
I would love a baked potato. It just feels, like, weird for the situation. But you know what? It's brisket, so in.
Exactly.
I just love something that's like a vessel that I can eat the whole thing.
That's right.
You know?
Especially like, if you're good with the skin.
Potato
the
is
skin
now.
Of the potato.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Like, it's basically just
is
a
Is that how you're
brisket's...
doing that? Like a taco? You're just kind of
Yeah, I'm,
like
I'm eating it like that.
Wait,
I'm not
you're taking
forking.
Bites
I
of
want
potato.
To see
I would eat it like it was a taco.
I would not expect him to eat this any other way.
That's 100% the way you consume this.
And see, Reggie, I've watched him eat this burger in Arizona, and I was like, and I looked once, and he took a first bite, and then I said something to Mike, and then I turned, and it was gone. And I was like, oh, I can see how you can do that. Not everybody else can do it the way that you do it,
though. You have to understand your skill set.
Right. Don't let the nice haircut fool you. He's still a menace when it comes to food.
Just absolutely sloppy. So hold the fork. You guys can hang on to that fork. Give me the napkin, though. I'm going to need that.
And it's hurtado.
From the 682, right, so. 10 beers and a hurtado's potato. Count me in.
Yeah, I'm after it.
You can decide that along your own lines, how much you're going to be drinking. All right. I feel like you've been waiting for this Thai food. Do you prefer to start with the golden pouches? Might have to dump that.
What is that about?
Well, you find out. That's called a tease.
The euphemism.
Or the crazy drunken noodles. Which one would you like to start with?
Drunken noodles sounds fantastic.
All right. Stir-fried flat rice noodles that are mixed with Thai spicy chili sauce, egg, onions, carrots, bell peppers, tomatoes, basil, and the choice of your protein for $18, or if you want it with chicken, $20.
There's a market for this, man. I mean,
that market you?
It's not really me, no. But the amount of Thai food lovers out here is really through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Directly into my personal stomach. So yeah, I'm with it.
You're about that?
Yeah, like if I could just surgically insert it directly into my stomach, I would.
Well, you
want to skip the taste?
Yeah, you do that.
You want the taste part, don't you?
I mean, sure. As long as it gets to the right place.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the most important part. I'm trying to digest that, baby.
System here.
Yeah, I'm trying to digest it.
Number one.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of intrigue behind the golden pouches. All right?
Always has been.
So, could be a fancy kangaroo? We don't know.
Let's not put the golden pouches on a pedestal.
I think this has to do with Severance.
No.
I still haven't seen that.
They're pouches.
I did see the thimble thing you were talking about. Okay. It's very good. All right, golden pouches, like crab rangoon, these fried wontons are stuffed with cream cheese, onions, and I'm sorry to tell you.
Imitation crab.
Oh, okay. We're doing so good.
Chili sauce on the side. Yeah. 9 for $4 or 2 for $5.
Oh.
As Eric said moments ago, there is a market for some people. This is not me. I've never been a rangoon fan. Rangoon?
What's everybody's one seed to this point? Because I think for me it's the baked potato.
I think the baked potato is it for me.
And then the burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potato burrito so far. But I've actually seen a couple other things, so I know some good things.
Oh,
are on the
you've
way.
Been eyeballing.
Yeah. There's some smoked wings coming from Hurtado, I believe.
However, we've got two more that could throw this whole competition.
But I don't think they're Orange Magic, so.
You can't.
Competition.
That's true. Yeah.
Gumbo nachos.
What?
All right. So the iconic baseball snack, nachos, probably with a squeezy cheese, gets a Louisiana twist. The Rangers Cajun nachos start with Tostitos tortilla chips that are laced with white queso, topped with chicken and sausage gumbo. $16.
And we're trusting people in DFW to cook gumbo correctly.
It's close enough to Louisiana, where I feel like you can hope for that.
States border each other. I've had good gumbo at the state fair. I'm sure that can translate to a ballpark.
All right,
because this is my new one seed. This sounds.
Are there
wonderful.
Photos of this? Because I'm just my mind. It's a bowl food that you're putting on nachos. I don't know.
There are. It's
dip like queso.
We can put those on the website. It just didn't translate as well. Just right here and right now. Eric?
Just how liquidy is that, is my question. Like, to soak the chips up, I guess.
Here you go. Here, take a look at that one right there. It's that. It looks like they do a pretty good job of layering it there.
I mean, I'd be interested in trying it. Yeah. My only concern is how well are the chips going to stay
Hold
crunchy
up, yeah.
in that scenario.
Now we take a page straight out of the State Fair of Texas, as we have Carter, Eric Chiafalo, and Reginald Atatula with us for this segment.
Still don't know why I'm here.
This because you love doing free work.
Didn't even say my last name.
You've always said that.
Oh, Carter Freeman, I'm sorry. So they have bacon on a stick. For the low, low price of $10, you can buy crispy, thick-cut Danish bacon glazed with Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce.
What makes the bacon Danish?
It's Nordic.
It's from Dane. So he got cut from the team.
They get rid of the team, but his food's still here.
Yeah, they got rid of him on the team. They said, we will keep your bacon.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded weird when I said it. I did not think it would sound that weird out loud. but it's glazed with Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce and served on a stick for the low, low price of $10. That, my friends, is my number one seed.
We had bacon like this, Carter, at the card show one year. A guy was outside selling it. He brought us some. It was phenomenal.
So good.
And I feel like I've had bacon on a stick at the state fair, and it's bacon. So just in general, I'm in on this. But that you mentioning this is your one seed, the thing you want, I did think, how many of these would Kevin Hagelin actually eat? And we actually did find one, because I don't think you try any of the rest of them.
Not the notch. I would eat the potato for sure.
Without the sour cream?
That's true. There's no way he's eating sour
cream.
That's
a good point.
And one of those green things on top.
Oh, don't tell him about them.
Yeah. And the lobster mac. Yeah, no, I don't want that. And like,
wait, the lobster mac you're out on?
No, he's on the chives.
No, I want the lobster mac.
That's why you don't tell him about them. You just wait to see if he notices when he takes bites.
I've just brushed it off. When I was little, my mom wanted me to try pork chops. I didn't want to. And she told me they were white steak. And I was like,
kind of what it is.
That's a true story. Mm-hmm. And so I tried them, thought they were delicious.
If you're good, you're good. If it works, it works.
Yeah. So she lied to
me. That's damn fine parenting.
It really is.
How old were you when you found out it wasn't white steak?
Too old, probably. I don't know exactly the age, but it was too old.
I think the better question is, what is the awkward circumstance that you were put into because you called it white steak in front of people that shouldn't have?
Yeah.
Man, that
what
is
friends were you around and you're like, hold on, what?
They're like, you're 17, for God's sake.
Second or third date this came out.
No. Yes, I'll take the white steak, please.
I'm sorry, sir. We keep it pink around here.
It's a miracle I found a wife. All right. There will also be a Lebanese restaurant there. El Tiempo Cantina will be there. So there's other different spots that will be there as well. But I wanted to read out some of the individually specific items. All right. I say bacon on sticks, number one. Carter, what say you?
I think I'm going to go with the gumbo nachos.
Okay.
It's a risky pick, but it's boom or bust.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the potato.
Potato from Hurtado does sound incredible. If I can just make.
Did you list off the smoked wings, or is that just a something?
Yeah, the smoked wings, because I mean it was sort of anecdotal from Corey. I didn't know if he was ballsacking me on that.
I'm seeing them.
All right,
look, there they are on Jared's tweet.
Here's what I was confused about. Are the wings enormous?
Look how big that potato. Look at the potato, dude.
That potato. Okay.
The wings are the size of the potato.
Okay.
$15. That's the best deal.
That is
deal.
A great deal, yeah.
I was trying to hide some consumer concern. I should have known better and put my trust in Hurtado.
Yep.
The four chicken wings are served with sweet baby Ray's barbecue sauce for $19.
Mm.
But when you hear four chicken wings for $19, you're like, I don't love it.
Right,
but then when you see...
Did they come with chips?
Their modern, unnatural society chicken wings. They're huge.
Uh-huh.
I support that.
Yeah.
Pterodactyl wings.
Yes. Pterodactyl wings, that's what we should call it.
I'm definitely buying that.
I'm running with Hurtado first, and then everything else after that. So wings and potato are my top two seeds.
Reggie?
I mean, I really wanted to go with the lobster mac, but I mean, that if a great value on a good baked potato, you know? Like
save that for Camden Yards.
Yeah, I think I'm with the potato.
Okay, so there you go. A look at the new food items coming to the ballpark this year. You know who else is going to be at the ballpark?
Reggie.
On Thursday?
Oh.
I can't speak to
the
that.
The elevator show of record.
That's right. The Whataburger opening day KNC Masterpiece will be doing our show live from the ballpark on Thursday.
You got a certification? I don't know
You've
about
been in an elevator with us. You know how it goes.
We're okay. Very charming. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, this time we actually will dive into more of the roster questions and how things are looking about 72 hours from opening day. We'll do that for the Rangers next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we are going to talk about the Texas Rangers in a more serious tone. Now, I know we got a chance to go through all the food stuffs and everything like that, and that was super fun. And I'm so glad that Reggie was able to bounce in for that. You can go listen to him.
And Carter and Eric as well.
For sure, but they'll still be here, and we can still tell them after the fact.
Reggie will still be alive.
We can
talk to him anytime we want.
That is true.
Just go pick up the phone.
That is true.
No, he might not answer, he says.
Oh, okay. So don't pick up the phone and call Reggie. All right. So what I wanted to talk about here...
We could definitely give out his phone number on air right now. And like we don't have to see him every day, but people can reach out and be like, we miss you. And
that feels really rude. But yes, we could absolutely.
We could. I didn't say we're going to. I just said we could.
So did the Rangers leave surprised with more pitching questions or answers? And then I'm going to swing back around to some other positional and roster questions because somebody was asking about Kevin Pillar. At this point, it feels like a pretty much a lock that Kevin Pillar is going to be on this team.
It does.
But I was thinking about it, and you went in to spring training thinking that your rotation was probably set. Maybe Kamar Rocker would make a run at it.
People were complaining about John Gray. Like, can we make him a closer? Yeah. Like, we were at a point where we were like, we're pretty stacked, but now we're picking at our own starting rotation here.
And instead, you walked away, and you talked about this earlier, with Malley, DeGrom, and Eovaldi in two spots up for grabs. Now, popular thinking is that Leiter and Rocker will take those spots to start, with then Corbin eventually, once he is up to speed and has got his arm built up, taking one of those spots. You have a left-handed presence in there. And I still think that is the way that it is likely to play out. But are you got to be more concerned about the rotation now than before, right? Because of those three pitchers who are going to pitch, you have DeGrom, who I hope he's fine, but obviously notoriously has had a bunch of arm issues. Tyler Malley missed, a year and a half, and then he came back, had three starts, had to be shut down. We had a scare in spring training as well. And so, the Rangers went a bold direction in building their rotation with people who have had injury concerns. And then when those players have injury concerns, you wonder about the depth. I wonder about the depth.
Okay, so that's interesting the way you just said that. They built it on players with injury concerns.
They did.
Chris Young said, my job, I think a job's GM or a GM's job is to constantly think about the things that could go wrong.
Yes.
And prepare for the worst case scenario. It is weird that when you're saying that, you're signing guys that worst case scenario is probably going to play out more likely. But I do appreciate, because how often do we argue that the Cowboys don't think that way?
Yes.
They're like, no, they're going to put a star on their helmet, and then they're going to be
magically
better.
Magically get better.
And with the Rangers, Chris Young is just like, I'm going to have a plan. I think that he's always kind of observing. They're always watching positions of need and trying to figure that out. We still probably have a lot of questions about the back end of the bullpen and what it's going to look like and how much we trust it, because right now it's just played out in spring training. So do we trust it completely? But he said, I got to go find arms. I got to go get as many as I can. And if it's not good enough, we'll continue to get more.
And to your point, the ceiling is so much higher because you never would have gotten Jacob DeGrom if not for injury concerns. You could make an argument you wouldn't have gotten Tyler Malley or John Gray if not for the injury concerns. So that's
designer bin.
Yes.
Like, that's got the designer bin at the Goodwill.
That is kind of the deal that goes along with it. And so then you look at the two replacements, Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker. Jack Leiter hasn't really had a whole bunch of injury concerns, but he's just had, can he find his stuff? Whereas Kamar Rocker, obviously another person who has had very famously noted variety of injury problems.
Yeah. There are, with the young pitchers too, you just don't know exactly what to expect from them, so you're kind of hoping for some things. But if they can get them to those three pitchers, that's all you're really hoping out of those two, is can you get them to Luke Jackson, Robert Garcia, and Chris Martin? Can those young pitchers do that?
And so somebody brought up, Dunning had a bad 2024. It's a disappointing spring. Boggles my mind that the Rangers waived him with the uncertainty of all the rotation in the bullpen. And so let's go back around to what some of your pitching specific options are. So we talked about the three main pitchers that are good to go, and we think Leiter and Rocker will make up the five. After that, I think Patrick Murphy is still in the mix. We eventually think Patrick Corbin is going to get a shot, whether or not you think that's the right decision. So that's seven right there. So I am still surprised that Dane Dunning didn't get a look. But then the other person is Adrian Houser. Now, I know Houser is not going to make the opening day roster, but he had 14 and a third innings pitched in the spring, 3.77 ERA. So they probably view him as one of the next three up. So I think that the Rangers think all of those guys had surpassed Dane Dunning when it comes to the bullpen. Chris Martin, Luke Jackson, Robert Garcia, you just mentioned. You can throw in Sean Armstrong, Jacob Webb, and Hobie Milner. That was nosebleed seats guy. And so now all of a sudden...
Is Mark Church in the mix still?
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
That's a great question. I think so because, and again, this could change today. But usually we get some stuff like that earlier in the morning. But I think you look at it that Garabito is in the mix. Patrick Murphy, who we just talked about as a potential starter, is probably in the mix. And then Mark Church or Jacob Latz might be a little bit of a longer shot, but I think they're in the mix. So Latz, Church, Garabito, Murphy, maybe those four guys for the last two spots.
I need everybody to listen right now that's listening. If you're listening, I need you to listen.
Okay, I'm listening.
The Rangers will not get Bauer. They are not going to get Trevor Bauer.
It's not
going to
happen.
You can keep saying, oh, but look at him dominating in this league. What he's facing, the competition he's facing there, is nothing like what he's going to face in the major leagues. I know he's done it before. He is not the same pitcher. What he's doing now, he's good. He's really smart when it comes to pitching. There's no way they're going to touch that. They are going to stay away from it and avoid it altogether. That being said, though, they were up until the last minute trying to get Dylan Cease last year.
Yes, they were.
I strongly believe that Leiter, Rocker, could, if they're not performing but they're good enough, they could be bait for something else. There are lots of guys that could be, hey, we have our eyes set on something else. We're not good enough. We want to go get one more piece to add to this thing. Now, again, DeGrom and Eovaldi healthy. We've seen the Rangers go into a World Series and win with just two starting pitchers, essentially.
That is true.
So we know they can do that. They would prefer not to.
Yeah.
You want to make it through the season for sure.
Now let's talk about Jack Leiter just a little bit more. Let's break down the spring. And all of this comes along with the spring is spring. You can take whatever you want or not take whatever you want out of spring training. But for Jack Leiter, pitching five games, had two starts. 17 strikeouts in 14 and two-thirds innings pitched with a 3.07 ERA.
I'll take it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. There's just one more number you need to know.
Okay.
In those 14 and two-thirds innings, he also has 9 walks.
Walks are still there. And if he's not going to change that, if he's afraid to, you know, throw certain pitches in certain areas, and that's part of it, or if it's just he can't find his command, he won't be there long. Like, that's just the way that it is. If he's not finding his command, which is something that they have been on him about for, you know, since they've brought him up, then he won't be up for long. But he's finding more of a rhythm, Kevin, than I think we've ever seen him with before.
I agree. And there are some reasons for that. First of all, increased velocity. Second of all, a new pitch. So let's talk about the increased velocity. Jack Leiter's rising fastball over 98 miles per hour. That's 2 miles per hour harder than he threw it in his big league debut. And he's topped out at 99.9. That's faster than any pitch he's thrown in the majors. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago in terms of how maybe he did his prep routine a little bit differently after talking with the pitching coaches. Then there's the vaunted kick change.
Mm-hmm.
So the kick change changeup is averaging more than 92 miles per hour. And probably more importantly, it's got 7 strikeouts in spring training off of that specific pitch. So I told you he has 17 strikeouts. From the kick change.
Okay.
7 of those strikeouts are specifically from the kick change. So there was discussion. I get control is still part of it. And how he keeps himself like calmed down is still part of it. But you wanted to add another pitch to the repertoire. Here you go.
I'm kind of curious, Kevin. That kick change, is it just for that pitch? Or is it for all pitches? I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
It's just his whole approach.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
No, but the kick change, specifically the changeup.
Gotcha.
It's specifically that.
Helping that pitch.
Yes, specifically that pitch.
Well, that's impressive.
And that pitch alone.
I wonder if that throws off the timing of the hitter a little bit because, I mean, obviously that kick right there. With the off-speed pitch, if that changes and alters the way that they're seeing that pitch come in. I like it.
And from the 817 and 940, these are fair things that you brought up. Y'all forgot Cody Bradford, and then what about John Gray? So I promise I did not forget about Cody Bradford. I'm just talking for myself. I remain concerned about what exactly is happening there. So with John Gray, we know he got transferred to the 60-day injured list. So he's going to be out for the first couple of months. But that's true. The idea is he'll come back, hopefully in the second half of the season, where I don't totally know if they'll just absolutely put him back as a starter, or maybe they'll reconsider, depending how the bullpen goes. We'll see about that. John Gray, one of our favorite people on the Rangers. And for Cody Bradford...
Yeah, it hurts my soul that he fractured his wrist.
It really... Because he talked about wanting to get to certain innings marks and everything.
How much chocolate milk he drinks.
Yes.
His bones are strong.
Absolutely.
Do you think it probably would have been worse had he not drank all that chocolate
milk? That's a
good
point. That is very good. Out for the season. That's why he didn't need surgery. And then for Cody Bradford, look, I feel like we kind of got fed some of this logic with Jacob DeGrom a little bit ago when it was like, oh, no, yeah, he just tweaked it. We'll see how it goes. And then all of a sudden, bam, Tommy John.
Right.
And so with Cody Bradford, something.
Keep pushing it off and pushing it off until we have to.
It feels like something is off here because he was going to be shut down for 2 weeks and then be reevaluated. Okay. And then the scans came back clean. They don't have concern. At least that's what they said, it sounds like, about the structure of the UCL. And they followed it up with he'll be shut down for an additional 3 or 4 weeks. That just doesn't make any sense to me. And people might be listening right now and be like, I am a pitching scientist. I know exactly what's happening. That's great because I want to know because something about this doesn't add up. And I'm concerned. And it's not just the Rangers. All teams are not totally honest about what might be happening with their injury situation.
Think about how it affects you if you're trying to make a trade. If you're trying to make a trade and they're like, oh, dude, they don't have Cody Bradford.
They need
this. Let's squeeze something else out of them. That's one small way. You know, there's a lot of other things that could be involved in this, too. You also want to give the pitcher every opportunity to come back, you know, before you just say, like, he's probably sitting there saying to himself, I want to be back.
Yes.
And I'm going to do everything I can. And the Rangers are like, all right, even if they are looking at the information, they're like, it's not going to work. They still have to give him every chance.
And so that goes back to the idea of why did they move on from Dane Dunning? Well, if you think Bradford is coming back and Gray, you can just add those two more to the list of pitchers that the Rangers, at least this point. So they essentially think they have, what, 10 pitchers that they would start ahead of Dane Dunning?
Mm-hmm.
And when you need a 40-man roster spot, unfortunately, that makes you expendable. In the outfield, center field. Look, we talked about this last week. I still am curious to see what happens with Evan Carter. Leody Taveras is going to be on the roster.
Yeah, yes, he will.
All right? But for Evan Carter, he's trying to be the starting center fielder, right? Like, that's the goal.
Yep.
But he's also trying to stay on the roster. Because last week, Bruce Bochy was asked, hey, would it be better for Evan Carter to maybe be hitting 7th, 8th, and 9th and taking off against left-handers or leading off every single day in the minors? His answer, Bruce Bochy's answer, not my answer, Bruce Bochy's answer, that's a really fair question and left it at that. So I still think you're looking at the possibility that Evan Carter does not break, well, I guess we've already broken camp, but does not start with the Texas Rangers, but he could still have the potential to be your starting center fielder. I'm really curious when we get that news in the next day or two. In the meantime, Kevin Pillar, Sam Haggerty are still in competition. I think Pillar is on the roster.
So I do too.
I think, okay, so you think Pillar is there and we agree that Leody is there.
Yeah, here's the thing that concerns me a lot though is...
And they did send Osuna down. I know that's somebody that...
What? That's it.
We talked about it.
I'm done with this season.
We talked about it, how that was probably going to happen, and they did. So if our dreams were that he would make the opening day roster, he has a bright future ahead of him, but it's not happening right now.
Okay. With Evan Carter, you know, in his journey that he's going through, Ezekiel Duran not living up, you know, to what expectations are of him as a backup outfielder. And that's kind of, that might be his last opportunity with the Rangers.
Sure.
And then like Josh Smith's fine, everything back up. It just, you don't have a lot of depth in the outfield right now.
I agree.
And that's where like you have to have Evan Carter take that role, jump back into it and be able to be who he was. Or you have to have Leody learn how to be able to hit better.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, like you're right, but also... it just doesn't feel like that is like that's going to happen at this stage of the game, right? Or that you're going to see it.
I keep wanting it to click for him because I'm like, he's still young. He's got this ability. He's big, strong, fast, like all these great qualities.
And there are all kinds of reasons that certain players have deficiencies that prevent them from being desired by every team in Major League Baseball. So you look at Leody Taveras, like, holy smokes, is he fast and young and controllable from a salary point of view? What's the catch? Struggles hitting.
Yeah, he just can't hit the base. And in baseball?
That's a pretty big part of the game.
This isn't track, Kevin.
Yeah, that's a pretty big part of the game.
It's okay if he can't dive head first.
Yes, that is such a weird thing. That really is. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. We'll get a lot more information, obviously, in the next 48 hours or so leading into Whataburger opening day. We'll be at the ballpark 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. doing our show on Thursday. In the meantime, I got some other news for you. We might bounce back to the tournament in just a second. Anthony Davis was upgraded from doubtful to questionable for tonight.
Okay.
Now, I'm trying my best, and I know the Mavericks are trying their best to get people to care, but the Mavericks have gone too far in with Facebook advertising where they're like, hey, did it really happen if you didn't see it live or all this nonsense? Like, it's more exciting in person. Not the time, Mavericks. I know you got to sell tickets. I don't know what the proper advertising campaign is, but it just doesn't feel like this is it. Not the time. I don't want to hear it.
You know what I want to hear from their advertising? We're still trying to make the playoffs. Like, Kevin, just think about it, dude.
Yeah.
How amazing would it be if they made the playoffs, all of their bigs come back, and they're able to go on a run because nobody can stop the bigs. And then, Kyrie's not there, which means he's tradable next season.
Oh, my obviously. God. Then I will.
Anybody's tradable on this team, Kevin.
To the best of my ability, I will recite the Happy Gilmore speech or the Billy Madison speech about how I'm stupid and Nico is smart. And we'll go through all of that. It just feels like that's not happening.
Kevin, I do have some information, Rangers information real quick. Have you seen the Patrick Corbin stuff?
I did. Tell the people.
Probably an E7 against Pilar, a double against Heim,
a single
against Ornelas, a double against Osuna, and a strikeout swinging on Pilar. So everything's going to be all right, though.
Oh, that was for the simulated game.
It was a simulated game.
Hey, guess what? He didn't have to pitch against this team. All right?
You're right. This team, and that is a murderer's row. Jonah Heim, Pilar, Ornelas, and Osuna, murderer's row.
And have some questions.
He's got some work to do,
some
Kevin.
Some of the people that you listed in there. But he doesn't have to pitch against this team. So that's absolutely good news. All right, for the Mavericks, and they do play tonight, like we said, Anthony Davis has been upgraded to questionable. Can you find it in your heart and soul to care about that?
Because
I know I'm supposed to, and I'll watch parts of the game, if not the whole game, but I'm just not. Like, I care way more about the Stars game tonight than I do the Mavericks
game. That's a fact. I definitely care more about the Stars game. If Anthony Davis is on the court, though, I do want to watch it.
Okay.
If he's on the court, he's an absolute blast to watch play.
For sure.
The energy in that arena for those three quarters that he was there was amazing. Again, that team looked like you were sitting there going, hold on, I know we just traded Luka, but we got a dude who's can help just clean up boards. He can shoot threes occasionally, but he's got all these other skills. He can pass in the paint. Dude, if Derek Lively comes back, we have, you know, I started dreaming that and then reality hit and I was like, oh yeah, he gets hurt. That's what's going to happen.
And so maybe it's not tonight, though it could be tonight. Anthony Davis looks like he'll be back this week. And you mentioned Kyrie, but still holding out hope for the return of your other two bigs. And you'd have a very unique three-man big in the NBA. Like, be the best group of bigs in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, I've got another basketball story for you, and it is going to warm your heart. Corey, are you ready to have your heart warmed?
Absolutely. Let's get some heartburn going.
Joe Ingles from the Timberwolves, he got his first start in 3 years. He hadn't started since January of 2022.
Probably for a good reason.
That is fair. But what if I told you they started him for an even better reason?
Okay. I don't know. What's the reason? Tell me why.
His autistic son was in the crowd watching. And as you can imagine, like, first of all, crowds can be overwhelming to all of us, but especially for certain types of autism, yeah, it can be very overwhelming. He was there to watch his dad, and the Minnesota Timberwolves said, let's go for it.
Get him on the court.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
How did he do? Did he have 20 points and 16 rebounds?
No, because he did only play 6 minutes, but he had an assist.
There you go.
And they won by like 40 points. So
what I'm talking about, man. That's great to be able to do. Listen, man, to be able to do something that you're good at, yeah, or better than most people at,
for
in
sure,
front of your kid is always cool. That is like, there's no doubt about that. Being able to do something like that in front of your kid is always cool.
Yeah, and I thought it was really cool that Chris Finch was like, hey, let's make a change. Let's make that happen. He said it felt right and credited it for giving the team an emotional boost. And then they obviously beat the crap out of New Orleans. Now,
and they're seventh in the
they're still conference in the mix.
Yeah, so they got some time.
All right, Jake, we're going to have you make an important decision right here and right now.
All right, ready.
Do you want to get into a semantical NCAA tournament name discussion, which actually has really fun audio too, I believe, or do you want to hear about the racer who made their return, the running racer who made their return from a burrito ban?
I think just based on the time of year, we got to do basketball, right?
Okay.
I think we have to.
I like that you brought this to the world because yeah, Bailey the Bird just texted in and she said, I always thought your name had an E in it.
Oh, like C-O-R-E-Y?
C-O-R-E-Y. Everybody out there.
So does FC Dallas.
It's not going to bug me if you text in and you're like, hey, Corey, and you spell it wrong. It's all spelled wrong all the time. However, my name is spelled C-O-R-Y. I just want to let you know that. Last night, our friend Jake let us know that he was going to be working with us. And he texted me and said, hey, Corey, I'm going to be working with you, in some other words. And he misspelled my name. And I replied back to him, sweet, it's Corey without an E, off to a bad start. Now, since then, we've had other bad starts too, but it's okay. He's working on it, and we're growing as a young player here in this game. But that brought about the Kelvin Sampson audio that we're about to play. Do you get mad when people mispronounce or spell your name incorrectly? Because here's how Kelvin Sampson feels.
A game with Gonzaga in 2021.
Gonzaga. It always burns me up when people say that. Yeah, it's like calling me Kevin. My name is not Kevin. My mother used to say, people would see my name and say, hey, Kevin. And she would say, don't let people call you Kevin. Your name is Kelvin. Make sure they pronounce your name right. So that's why my antennas go up with that. Same with Gonzaga. They were our neighbors. And it's not Spokane, and it's not Gonzaga. It's Gonzaga, and it's Spokane.
And that right there, obviously, big disdain for the name Kevin. That's what it sounds like there.
Also, did he eventually answer the question?
I don't know if it went any further than that.
The question eventually
get asked? Yeah, I don't know if it went any further, but
okay,
he got up there and he was like, look, I'm very particular about this, and I want it to be done a certain way, and Kevin's a dumb name. Is the what Kelvin Sampson said.
What?
I didn't say that. Kelvin Sampson said it. You take that up with the city of Houston and the people that live there, Reggie. So that's not me, Kevin. I just want to point that out. I like your name. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you.
So most people in Houston don't.
Hey, follow up about that. How long is too long to correct somebody when they say your last name wrong? So
Kevin Hoagland.
As part of the Odyssey family, we'll do different appearances on different shows and stuff. And most of the shows get it right. But there's this one show that always says Hagland, and I really don't like it, but I didn't correct it the first or second time. I've been on that show a lot.
Is it
like
alt?
No. It's another station in another market, but it's an Odyssey station. I've been on that show probably 10 times.
670 the score.
It's not that. Okay, dude, don't joke about that. And they still say my last name wrong. It's too late, right? For them, I'm just Kevin Hagland. Hagland. Yeah, that's just what it has to be.
But if you didn't have the A right after the G, I would understand it.
I can't control
if it just said Hagland.
People don't understand how the letters work.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
From the 214, it's Kelvin's mom's fault, obviously, is what they suggest.
Okay.
Yeah.
And see, this is what I like to do to mess with people, and this has worked a shocking amount of time. People will ask me, well, why does your initial go first? And I was like, actually, it doesn't.
Yeah, mine's spelled with a K.
Kevin is spelled with a C, mm-hmm. and Corey is spelled with a K.
Good luck.
You'd be amazed how many people look at you and they're like, oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yep. Just to mess with them.
I said that to Arnie when we first got here. He was like, I don't understand this. What's going on here? And I was like, you know, actually, my name is spelled with a K. And he was like, what? And that was the greatest moment. And then I think a few seconds later, he was like, I'm getting Sean a razor for Christmas this year. It's probably going to go dull in the first stroke, though. And I was like, this guy's a genius. I understand this show.
He is the absolute worst at radio. The worst.
Oh, I miss that guy.
All right. If you've ever wondered, could you do a radio show with no content? Go back and listen. Yes, you absolutely could.
University of Texas is the worst, Longhorns. Call in and tell me about it.
What? I have a line. Then we have the fan sports line. Did you see that girl in the dress? That's a 30-minute topic, right? Just the worst.
I think it's shirt see-through.
All right. Now, we'll transition to running and burritos. Are you familiar with Shelby Houlihan?
It's fine
if you're not. Most people don't know who the runners are.
Houlihan sounds like a bar.
We're going to get to that. So Shelby Houlihan made the return to the big stage. The U.S. record holder of the 1,500 meters, former record holder of the 5,000 meters, went to the World Indoor Championships, won a silver medal in the 3,000 meters.
Wow.
Now, where has Houlihan been? Houlihan did not participate in the Paris Olympics. She tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug. She said she ate a burrito and claimed that it was tainted with the performance-enhancing drugs and it should not be her fault.
How did she come to this conclusion that she had a tainted burrito? Like, how's she like, that's obviously it. So, I got it from a shady spot.
That's exactly what she said.
All right.
She said she had bought the tainted pork burrito from a Mexican food truck, and that is who did her
in.
That's
terrible, dude. That is terrible.
And plus, you know that food truck's not that, like at that specific time anymore. So are you going to track them down? What was the name of it? I don't know. Food truck. So she got busted and was trying to say it was a Mexican food truck.
Yeah,
guess what? Her argument, thumbs down.
I hope that food truck never serves her again. I hope they never serve her again.
I agree.
They just drive off while she's ordering next time.
And so she got suspended for a 4-year doping ban because she ate a, quote, tainted burrito. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh my gosh, I did something on my dadding bucket list over the weekend. You tell me some of your dadding bucket list things next on The Fan.